95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson joining Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. JD was in L.A. last night for the Clippers-Warriors game. Good morning, JD. How are you?
Hey, what's going on, guys? Yeah, good to be with you. What a day today, man. That Raiders game and then the Warriors playing the second night of a back-to-back. Just going to be an incredible one. Both kind of playing at the same time. It's really just a fun time to be a fan of both of those teams right now.
Let's start with the beginning of this outstanding 48-hour stretch of games. The Warriors by 17 last night over the Clippers. First off, what was the atmosphere like at Staples Center last night?
It was pretty dead, to be honest. It was a late-arriving crowd last night. There were a lot of Warriors fans there, and they were having a good time. And I thought it was funny, Kevin Durant mentioned it when he was kind of asked about it after the game, and he said, it's kind of a crowd that just shows up, midway through the first quarter, just kind of hangs out. And by the time everybody was settled in, the Warriors had a lead and a big lead because the Clippers were kind of sloppy early on, and the Warriors were able to turn their defense up. But it was just an odd feel in the building last night. I went into it thinking it was going to have kind of a playoff-like atmosphere, but I think the Warriors sucked the life out of the place before anybody could even get to their seat.
DeAndre Jordan, double-double, 10 points, 12 rebounds, most of it coming on the offensive glass. When he was in there, it looked like the Warriors were having some trouble on the boards. Is that any real template for a way to control this Warrior team by having your bigs in there?
I think it is in general, and I think the Clippers believe that was going to be a way that they could compete and really give the Warriors problems. The issue for them, though, is they just don't have the firepower on offense to stack up with what the Warriors have, even with DeAndre Jordan doing that. And you look at, they start Luke and Bob Mute. He goes for 2 points. The guy's not a threat at all. Can't hit a shot from the floor. Doesn't even really want to take a shot. And J.J. Redick is a guy, too, that was just nothing last night for the Clippers. 2 points, didn't score at all in the first half. The Warriors have done a nice job against Redick. And then you couple that with the fact that Chris Paul, 15, kind of an average game, 5 assists. He was just okay, and Blake Griffin was terrible. I mean, Draymond Green just dominated that individual matchup. So while the Clippers may have felt that they could have punished the Warriors if they went small or gotten after that Pachulia spot with DeAndre Jordan making plays, really the Warriors, even on a night where they didn't shoot it well and had a difficult time with some of their guards in terms of scoring, Kevin Durant, one of his worst games offensively, but even on a night like that, the Warriors, it was still just evident how much more firepower they have and potential for guys to hit shots, and last night was a night where they did it with defense, and the Clippers just couldn't keep up. They need Blake Griffin and Chris Paul and probably a third guy and maybe even a fourth guy to really step up out of that starting lineup and be able to score efficiently, and last night it just wasn't happening, and I think you got to credit the Warriors' defense.
J.D., staying there when you're saying you need Blake Griffin to step up and be more profound, especially against this stub team, can he do that against Draymond? What is Draymond? What did you see about Draymond last night? Just seems like the bigger the game, at times this guy's defense becomes just the amoeba defense. And how well did he play against that young fellow last night?
He's been outstanding, and he dominated the game. I mean, Blake Griffin thinks he's going to have an 8 of 10 kind of a game, on a nightly basis, or a game where he's 12 of 16, 12 of 18. He has those kinds of games all the time, not against Draymond Green. And really, you go back to when the Clippers beat the Warriors, and this is 2014 in the first round of the playoffs. It was Mark Jackson's final series as the head coach before Steve Kerr took over. And Blake Griffin got to Draymond Green a little bit in that game 7 of that series late. In the final couple of possessions, Griffin was able to score on him. Since that point in time, Draymond Green's dominated that matchup in the Steve Kerr era, if you will. And not only did he dominate it defensively and slowing Blake Griffin down, but he's been able to render DeAndre Jordan irrelevant at times when the Warriors have played small. And not only does he do it defensively, but then he's the guy scoring the basketball. I mean, it's just a no-lose situation for the Warriors when Draymond Green's going to score 22 points and lock down Blake Griffin to the tune of a 5 of 20 for seven with seven turnovers to boot. I mean, Draymond Green's been absolutely amazing since about game 3-4 of the season defensively. I mean, he's well on his way to that defensive player of the year, and shutting down guys like Blake Griffin is a major reason why.
95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. Any concerns regarding the hangover effect tonight? You played in Los Angeles on a plane late, flying to elevation just over 4,200 feet at Salt Lake City to play a rested Jazz team tonight. Concerns?
Yeah, I think there are a little bit, and Steve Kerr said after the ball game that they may rest a couple of guys tonight. And anytime he says that, I tend to think in Andre Iguodala or Sean Livingston first and foremost, and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson, they were asked if they wanted to play all 82. And both those guys said, yeah, they're intending on playing all 82. So I'm always interested to see what exactly Steve Kerr means when he considers doing that. And the Warriors did it. You know, I remember the one game where they really gave everybody the night off in Denver going a couple of years back. They're concerned about altitude and the back-to-back and the impact I think that can have on players, clearly. And Salt Lake City isn't Denver, but there is some altitude in play there. So I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of guys maybe got the night off on the second night of a back-to-back with the 4-5, with the 5-7. With the fact that the Warriors have already been playing games essentially every other day for about 2 weeks leading up to this stretch as well. So I think there is going to be a little bit of concern. I think the Warriors may choose to go a little shorthanded tonight with their lineup, and the Jazz are going to be shorthanded as well with Rodney Hood and George Hill likely out as well for the game for Utah.
95.7 The Game reporter John Dickinson from Los Angeles with Joe Lowe and Dibs on 95.7 The Game. JD, thank you for your time. Travel home safe and enjoy that Raider game tonight.
Absolutely. Looking forward to it. It's just going to be an absolute epic for the AFC West.
Appreciate it, JD. Take care.
All right, you got it.